Well, you know, the transitional team is a statutory body. The Presidential Transition Act creates an institution that will more or less organize the successful transfer of power from one government to the other after a general election. In this particular case, we don't have a regime succession as such, because the current incumbent is now the president-elect. And therefore, the task of the transition team is very limited. Indeed, it's very limited to the, how shall I say, the 6 or 7 hours when we will have a power vacuum between January 6, 2003 and January 7, 2003. What the team therefore will do is that they will take custody of state property and paraphernalia awaiting the inauguration of the new president, who will then assume responsibility for state property, paraphernalia, etc. And of course, after the inauguration, the president will name his full executive team, who will then have members assigned to various portfolios and responsibilities. If it had been a regime succession, then from this period up to January 7, when the new president-elect is sworn in, they will deal with taking custody of state property and paraphernalia to an accounting system. Handing over notes will then be prepared by the current incumbent government and handed over to the transition team, awaiting the ascension of the new president and the new executive.
So, Dr. Edu, as we have it now, the anticipation that there could be a little power vacuum based on the transition team because it's from one, is the same administration, is that the case?
Well, it's only from midnight, the 6th of January, to the time at which the new president-elect will be sworn in. So it won't be more than 9 hours or so.
Now, Doc, one presidential candidate, Mr. Hassan Ayariga, has called on the president-elect to have an inclusive government. As a leading member of the party, do you foresee this happening?
Well, there has always been an inclusive government. The word inclusive government is a relative term or concept. It depends on which aspect of the executive and its functions that you are looking at. During the tenure of President Mel, you had a situation in which so many persons clearly identify as having ideologies and partisan political affiliations quite opposite that of the then president were kept in their positions. Indeed, it took the president almost 4 months before he changed district metropolitan and municipal chief executives. Persons who are clearly political appointees. They did not ask them to go home, as President Kufuor did when he took over power. So that is a clear evidence of an inclusive government. Then we have situations where at the level of the public and civil services, several people have been at their posts. One of the points that has rankled with the rank and file members of the NDC since 2009 is the fact that certain persons who can clearly be seen as opposed to the NDC in every sense, both philosophy, ideology, etc., have still been occupying their posts because President Mill did not want to run a vindictive system of governance. In sharp contrast to what President Kufuor and the NPP did between 2001 and 2008. So the NDC under Mill is no, under Mahama, is no stranger to the principle of inclusive government. We've also had persons holding ministerial portfolios over the past 4 years who are not members of the NDC. Indeed, two of them, I think, who have got re-elected. I don't know whether they got re-elected or what, because I haven't looked at the full details of the parliamentary election. But they held post, and yet they are not from the NDC.
Now, Dr. Edu, the main opposition party is crying foul after the election. President Mahama has called for all the political parties to listen to the people of Ghana. The opposition is saying that they are going to point out over 20 constituencies where they said there were voter irregularities. What is the position of the NDC in this?
Yesterday, when they wrote a petition to the Electoral Commissioner to suspend the declaration of the results of the election, their evidence was that there were about four constituencies whose elections were flawed in terms of the collation of the results. Suddenly, the list has jumped to 20. It is laughable. They presented the evidence yesterday. We were all there. We saw it. And we saw the frivolity of the claim. Indeed, what is happening is a repetition of what has always been happening since the inception of the Fourth Republic, so far as the political behavior of the New Patriotic Party is concerned. At every election that they are not successful, they come out with all kinds of reasons to more or less impugn the integrity of the electoral process in Ghana. 92, they declared a stolen verdict. 96, they said the verdict was bought. When they won in 2000, then everything was hunky-dory, very nice. And then when they won again in 2004, it was okay. They lose in 2008, and they threatened mayhem. And they lose again, and now they are threatening mayhem. They wanted to put their supporters on the street. They wanted to place an injunction on the declaration of the results. A whole series of things. You see, these people are not Democrats. Rhetorically, over the years, they have misrepresented themselves as Democrats. Even their philosophical vision for Ghana is wrong. The whole essence of their campaign is development and freedom. Ghana has always been free since 1967. The founding fathers, in their wisdom, decided that the vision of governance of the country should be freedom and justice. We've had our freedom. It was interrupted for some time. But since 1992, there has been no question about the freedom of Ghanaians. I would have thought that, having gone beyond the need to canvass for freedom, what a political party should be doing is justice, social justice. The emphasis should be on social justice now rather than freedom and justice. We passed the stage when we need that freedom as a battle cry. We have shown the world, at least over the past 20 years, that freedom is a reality. What is not happening is that we don't have social justice. There is considerable discrimination. There's a class system in this country, whether you like it or not. Many people are underprivileged. We have a system that is more or less dominated by political, academic, and economic elites. And these are the people that the NPP always mobilize for political support to continue to perpetuate the domination of the society by a group of minority elites who, as the record shows, always come to govern in their own parochial interests. It's about time that we translated good governance to include social justice, creation of equality of opportunity for everybody in Ghana, and not just for the privileged few.
Dr. Edu, finally, let me ask you, what should Ghanaians expect from the government of President-elect John Mahama now that he's been given the nod for his first full term?
I'm sure that President Mahama is smart enough to realize that his more or less political base, that is the NDC, has the philosophy of social democracy. We have paid our dues so far as democracy is concerned. It is about time we turn our attention to the socialist dimension of governance. This is what I call social justice. It is about time that the government policies, programs, and projects are aimed at the betterment of the life of the underprivileged rather than the perpetuation of classes and privilege as we have seen over the years. And I'm sure he is smart enough that this time the focus of his governance should be the underprivileged members of our society.